Welcome to the Aquarimax Audio Show with Russ and Kelly. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics. This is episode 14, recorded August 10th, 2009. Hey, everybody.
Hi.
We're back once again, and we're going to talk to you about...
one of my favorite fish.
Yes, Carassius auratus auratus, commonly known as...
goldfish.
Yes, indeed. Now, before you stop listening because you think goldfish are passé or blasé or some other A, they're not. Goldfish are not beginner's fish, even though lots of beginners try to keep them, and many of them fail for that very reason. So, if you've never kept goldfish before, you should keep listening. If you have kept goldfish before, but they lived sad, miserable, and brief lives on the planet we all share,
you should also keep listening.
Yes. And if you keep goldfish successfully, maybe you should listen anyway, just for fun. A lot of you I know are just listening to podcasts just so you have something to do while you're exercising anyway or whatever. So you can still listen. And you might learn something. Who knows? So here we go. Well, as I already told you the scientific name, but let's put that in context a little bit. Goldfish are a type of carp. And all goldfish belong to the same species. Koi are a closely related species, not actually the same species. But they all belong to the carps. And the carp group has some interesting characteristics. For one, they have no teeth in their jaw. Their teeth are in the pharynx, further back. We might think of it as the throat, but it's further back in there. And that has some ramifications that are important when you're keeping them. But let's move on a little bit, shall we?
Alrighty, so who should keep goldfish?
Well, as I said, beginners probably not, unless they're equipped to do so correctly. They're not the easiest fish to start with because they grow big, because they eat a lot, and they require quite a bit of space. So unless a beginner is prepared to deal with those very issues, they should start with something easy. Get zebra danios, get a betta or something like that. Move on to goldfish a little later.
So, well, anybody else, really, who's not a beginner and who wants a beautiful fish.
And is ready to, you know, get a little bit bigger tank and is ready to do some more maintenance and get a strong enough filtration system and so on, yeah.
Okay, what kind of a setup do goldfish need?
Well, most people would agree, most goldfish keepers would agree that you need about 20 gallons minimum tank size. Now, that's not to say you can't keep them in smaller tanks for years. It's possible, but they're just not going to do as well in general as they will if you have them in a larger tank. I had goldfish in a 10-gallon tank for years and years and years, and those goldfish lived for years and years and years, but of course, they didn't attain their maximum size, and they probably would have done a bit better if they had been in a larger tank. Even though they lived, you know, 15 years or whatever. So I would suggest maybe 10 gallons per fish, but with a minimum size of 20 gallons. So if you have a 20-gallon tank, you should really only have two goldfish in there at the most, maybe just one. And just go up. The bigger, the better. Of course, tanks in general are more forgiving of mistakes if they're bigger. So go for the biggest tank you can and make sure you have a nice strong stand that's built for that size of tank that it's on and everything, and just go up from there.
All right, what about
the filter? Well,
filter that they need. They need a lot of filtration, goldfish. Do they poop a lot?
They do. They're fairly messy fish, meaning they eat a lot and they produce a lot of waste, both visible waste and dissolved waste that you don't see in the water but still have an effect. Anyway, what I usually try to do is get a filter that's rated higher than the gallons per hour for the size of tank that you actually have. You know, I think right now we have our goldfish in a 37-gallon tank, and the filtration on there is rated for at least 60 gallons. We have two separate filters, and together they rate at least 60 gallons. And so I think it's generally good to double the amount of filtration for the tank. They don't want a whole lot of heavy water flow. So if you get two filters with moderate water flow and put them on there, you do all right, and that's what we do. Works pretty well. Water changes are a big issue. 20% twice a week is a minimum. You might want to do that three times, or you might want to jump it up to 35%, you know, twice a week or something like that. Make sure that when you do it, you're doing gravel washing, especially if you have a lot of substrate at the bottom. If you just have a really thin layer of gravel on the bottom that just barely covers the bottom with one piece of gravel, you know, that's okay. That helps, actually, because they do like to stir up the gravel and, you know, move it around in their mouths. Gravel, there's some controversy with gravel and goldfish, because goldfish have been known to die by lodging a piece of gravel in their mouth, and it renders them unable to breathe by passing the water through their gills. So there are occasionally goldfish that die from that. But in general, if you get small enough pieces so that it can easily go in and out of their mouth, that's not a big deal. Temperature, well, they don't usually need a heater, but it's better if your house undergoes temperature fluctuations to put a heater in there so the temperature is more constant. But really, goldfish do better if the temperature is in the low 70s in the tank. It gets higher, they have some breathing stress, their metabolism goes up and they start eating more and it's messier. It gets a lot lower than that, they start slowing down. Of course, breeding is another issue, but yeah, usually low 70s is good. 70 to 72 is probably ideal. Water parameters as far as alkalinity, pH, you know, hardness and all that, not really very particular, but they do like water that's on the hard, little, you know, some dissolved minerals in there with the pH probably higher than 7, maybe, you know, 7.4, but they're quite adaptable and they can if you've got half decent water of just about any pH, they can adapt to it, so it's not a big deal.
As far as aggression and tank mates go, what can you tell us what to do with the goldfish?
Well, there's two types of aggression you need to worry about with goldfish. One is with tank mates that are other than their own species, and one is with their own species. So let's talk about with their own species first. Goldfish come in many different varieties, and the many different varieties vary as far as hardiness goes and aggression at feeding time. It's not like you put two betas together and they beat the living tar out of each other. It's not like that kind of aggression. It's more goldfish will pursue food more intensely depending on the variety, more or less intensely. And so if you keep one type that pursues food not so intensely with another type that does, the one that doesn't will probably starve. So you have to be careful with that. And you can divide goldfish into two big groups, the single-tailed group and the double-tailed group. That's kind of a rough grouping there, but the single-tails, you get common goldfish, comet goldfish, shoebunking goldfish, and so on, which, as the name implies, they have a single tail. And they generally have a fairly slim body shape and can swim quite quickly.
A little bit closer to more of a wild body shape.
Right, very similar to the wild body shape. They may have more exaggerated finnage, but similar to the body of a wild goldfish. And they pursue food extremely aggressively. If you keep one of those with a fat, stubby, double-tailed goldfish, especially one that has buggy eyes like a moor or a celestial, or a bubble eye, or one that doesn't have a dorsal fin like a lion head, something like that, it's likely to outcompete the other ones entirely for food. And
well, they are likely to outcompete it.
Yes, the ones, the single tails will outcompete the double tails. Now there are a few exceptions. One of the double tails that I really like, in fact, the Wakin. Some people call it a Wakin, but Wakin is closer to the Japanese original name. That's a double-tailed goldfish with a body shape that's very similar to a single-tailed goldfish. It's just about as hardy and just about as fast. So they can do
fine.
Very
pretty.
They are. They're very nice fish. And they do very well with single-tailed goldfish. But most other double-tailed goldfish don't. And among the double-tailed goldfish, there are other variations. A fan-tailed goldfish, for example, is pretty fast. It can swim fairly well. But then there are other goldfish like an Aranda usually does all right too, and there are various others. But then you get to the celestials, the bubble eyes, the lion heads, and things like that, and they don't do so well with other fast goldfish. So think of them as maybe three groups. There's the single tails, there's the hardy double tails, and then there's the really bizarrely shaped double tails that will do poorly unless they're kept with each other. And, you know, there's some variation there, but just do your research a little bit. Black moors, for example, or moors, as they're called, tend to be fairly hardy, and they can do okay, even though they have these buggy, crazy eyes, do fine with Orandas and Fantails and so on, because they tend to be pretty enthusiastic feeders, even though they can't see all that well. Okay, now we go to tank mates in aggression. Well, bristle-nosed Plecostomus seem to do okay, and they also respond fairly well to the lower temperatures. Certain types of snails will do okay with goldfish. But, for example, don't try Siamese algae eaters. That would be my recommendation upon sad experience.
Well, and the Siamese algae eaters did fine while they were small.
Yes.
But then they got too big.
Once they got big, they got fairly aggressive and began bugging the goldfish, and we noticed that, and I was planning on taking them to the pet store at the next opportunity. Unfortunately, before I was able to do so, one of the goldfish, an Orando, was attacked and lost an eye, and is now doing fine with only one eye, but it's a terrible tragedy, I think. And the Siamese algae eaters, needless to say, have found another home. I brought them to the pet store that very day, and we no longer have them with the goldfish. So I would say some fish that I've kept before that are supposed to do well with goldfish, dojo loaches. I love those fish. I've never kept them with goldfish, but they're supposed to do fairly well together. White cloud mountain minnows are supposed to do fairly well, and I can't imagine a white cloud hurting a goldfish, although a really hungry goldfish might eat a white cloud, I don't know. And things like mystery snails are supposed to do well. Haven't really tried that. But in general, a lot of goldfish keepers just say keep goldfish the goldfish, with perhaps the exception of the bristlenose placo, which I do, and I haven't noticed any problem with the bristlenose placos and the goldfish. Okay, so what's next?
Okay, feeding. What is best to feed your goldfish?
Well, this is a really important part of things. You might think, oh, I'm just going to go get some goldfish food. Well, you could do that, but it probably wouldn't be enough. See, goldfish, now we're especially talking about the double-tailed kind, their digestive system has changed shape as their bodies have become globular because of the selective breeding that they have undergone. And so I would highly advise against feeding them only a dry food. One thing that we do with our goldfish is feed them lots of veggies, and that helps them to keep their digestive systems functioning properly, which helps them avoid swim bladder problems. A lot of double-tailed goldfish will get swim bladder problems and will either sink habitually or float habitually, and it can be bad for them and uncomfortable for fish, I'm sure, and uncomfortable for humans to watch. So, rather than subjecting them to such buoyancy issues, you can give them shelled frozen peas. Make sure to remove the skin first. You just squeeze it once it's thawed a little bit, and the pea pops out, the skin stays in your finger, and the goldfish will eat that. Other vegetables we've used?
Cucumbers?
Cucumbers, yeah. Cucumbers thinly sliced.
Lettuces?
Yeah, lettuces, especially like the softer, younger lettuces. They
baby
tend to like
lettuce.
Those. Baby lettuces, yeah. Zucchini. You can cut them into little strips. You can just leave them in round slices. You can do that. Either one works. Various things, actually. Orange pulp. If you take a fresh orange and you remove some of the little pieces of pulp without popping them and releasing the juice, you put those in there. The goldfish love those. So make sure they get plenty of veggies. We like to give them several times a week. Not too much, of course, but we make sure each of the goldfish gets a couple of mouthfuls of veggies several times a week, and that really seems to help avoid any of those digestive troubles that cause swim bladder issues.
Okay, if someone wants to breed their goldfish,
mm-hmm.
How would they go about doing that?
Well, the best way is to look into keeping them in a pond, because goldfish apparently respond to the photo period and to the water temperature as breeding cues. And so breeding them in a pond tends to be a lot easier, and they tend to kind of do that by themselves. You pick the goldfish you want and you let them breed, of course, and you'll definitely be more likely to get some fry out of that for various reasons, also because in the pond there's natural microscopic food for them, and there's enough space and plants and so on so that they can hide. If you're serious about breeding goldfish, you might just want to look into pond, which is another thing altogether and beyond the scope of this particular podcast. But let me tell you something, that I have kept goldfish in conditions indoors that have caused them to spawn. Usually when they do receive some window light, which adjusts their photo period. And I have seen them spawn in my tank several times. I have not attempted to raise the fry, but I have witnessed the spawning event on various occasions. One way to tell the male and the female apart during breeding season, which is usually spring, and sometimes they'll do it later on in the fall and even in the summer sometimes too, but spring is generally the main breeding season. The males will develop breeding tubercules, they call them, little pearl-like bumps on their gill covers and on the, especially the first ray of their pectoral fins as well, and thickened rays on their pectoral fins. And if you see those little spots, kind of like freckles on their gill covers, you can guess that that's a male, especially if it's chasing the female. And the females do tend to fill with eggs. And generally one or two males will chase a female in through plants and any other sort of item floating in the water, and she'll release a lot of eggs, and then they will promptly go around the tank and gobble up as many eggs as